You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
We're going to be talking about Thanksgiving today. Hi, it's a new day. I'm Rhett Palmer, your host, and I've got Pastor Trevor here from
From Morningstar Church.
Morningstar.
Over here in Vero Beach, Florida.
Vero Beach, Florida, on
right
Oslo.
Yes, right down
services
the road from where you guys.
Services at 10 a.m. on Sunday?
Yes, sir. 10 a.m. Sundays, and we always have Sunday school and extra Bible studies 9 a.m. an hour before, and it's a great way to just be more involved in Scripture even before the worship service.
Let's talk about Thanksgiving. Was Thanksgiving initiated as historically as a ministry thing? I mean, did the pastors start this thing for the pilgrims? Or, you know, because we're in school, they didn't really mention religion. All they mentioned the pilgrims and the Indians.
You know, well, you got to put history in context. So you think about the first things. This is before America was even America. And the pilgrims that came here to the United States, they really were missionaries. They were families that were part of churches over in England and in Scotland that came here, many of them from Scotland. In fact, us at Morningstar, we're part of a denominational group of Scottish families that came to the colonies to come and worship the Lord and not a king, right? Because Christ is king. And the pilgrims that came here...
But not the king's Christianity.
Correct. They wanted to celebrate a Jesus-only God, you know, not...
What does that mean?
You know, that there is no other king but Christ. And so
that is true, right?
Right. But in those days, in the 1600s... It was the king of England or the king of Scotland who wanted to say, no, I am a king just as much as Jesus is a king.
Oh, yeah. Well, but look at King Henry VIII. He takes Anne Boleyn, who won't divorce him, so he has her head chopped off because after she's dead, he's free to marry again for the eighth or ninth time.
Right. And so you've got
So he made a mockery of the... Don't you think people make a mockery today, though? I mean, people said, this person's living with this one. Yeah, but you've been married seven times. Your vows to God mean nothing.
Right. Well, you know.
Is not marriage supposed to be a vow between a man and a woman?
But how true of that is that for all of us? You think about the gospel is we are the unfaithful ones, and the Lord's the one who keeps his vow when we always break ours. But God keeps his covenants, his promises. We are always the ones who break it. How many times has the Lord spoken to not just Adam and Eve, but then also to Noah, and then to Abraham, and then to Moses, and then to all the wonderful kind of early fathers of the faith? And we've always broken our end of the deal. God is always holding on to ours. You know, I've always likened it to this picture of the Roman handshake. And if I'm on video here, you know, yeah. This is how we leech onto the Lord, and when we let go of our end of the bargain, and we...
Oh, he's still holding on.
He's always holding on.
But he also says, remember me after I have blessed you. And because he said, many, you know, don't forget me after I have blessed you. Many people pray to God, oh, God, help me find a parking spot. Help me find a parking spot. Oh, there's one. Forget it, God. I found one.
Yeah.
Or
we call on him when we need him,
I went from living in the ghetto to not living in the ghetto. Well, you know what? I can walk right into the ghetto again, and I still thank you for delivering me from the ghetto. Also, another thing is everybody prays before they eat. That's really easy, you know. I'm starving. Let's pray. How many people after the meal say, hey, let's all get together and thank the Lord. Look what he gave us.
You know, think about this. The night that Jesus was betrayed, they're having the Passover, the Seder meal.
Yeah.
How did it finish? After he had their meal, they actually prayed and they sang a hymn. That's how they finished the meal, was actually in prayer.
I never know. Now, think I will remember that for the rest of my life. You taught me that this day.
Yeah. And, you know, something else to think about. You think about praying with a thankful heart. I mean, this leads right into where we are in this season. A lot of families are going to get together across the nation to remember God's faithfulness to his people. That's what Thanksgiving is
giving
all about.
Thanks.
And if you wanted to learn about where thankfulness comes from, the Bible shares that God has given man, has given us ways to relate to him. One of the, if you know your first five books of the Bible, do you know them in order? You have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers,
Deuteronomy.
And Deuteronomy. This is what's called the Torah, the law. And in the book of Leviticus, God gives instructions to his people, this is how you befriend me. This is how you relate to me. This is how you love me.
What does he say?
So he gives us ways to acknowledge God through various kinds of sacrifices. So you have what's called like a sin offering. You can have a type of offering where it's like an offering for our trespasses. You can have an offering for a need. And then we have what's called a peace offering. But Lamentation 7 is the first word that we actually get from the first five books of the Bible. It's an offering of thanksgiving.
Who's the one that's there was an appearance made either by an angel or by the Lord, and he says, put the meat there, put the gravy, cook it up, I guess, put the gravy on the meat, and then this fire came down from heaven and consumed the offering. In other words, that there has to be
there's some kind of procedure.
Sorts.
There's a sacrificial offering, and all offerings require sacrifice. You know, God is using sacrifice to help his people see that one day there will be a sacrifice, not on our end, but a sacrifice on his end when he sends Jesus into the world to be that sacrifice.
Do you think that's because God is not an easy catch? In that, let me bring it down to today's level. So, if I'm gonna become a consultant for churches. So I come in to consult your church, and you said, "Gee, our membership is down. We don't know why." And I come in for free at this time, and I say, "Well, that tree has grown up in front of your sign. You see, you've been here so many years. It was a little branch. Now it's a tree. You can't see the times. It's hurting. Cut down the tree." Now I come back next Sunday. The tree's still there. Now I say, "Hey, I'm a paid consultant. It's $5,000 a week. Give me the check, okay? Here's my check. Just cost you $5,000. I say, the reason your membership is down is because that tree, I come back the next day, that tree's
down.
Because it cost you.
Part of our kind of human fleshly patterns that we have is if we have no skin in the game, then we don't treat the game right. You know, if we don't, and there's, you know, this is why handouts don't work very well. If you don't own your home, if you're a renter, you may not really take care of the space that you're in. Or if you've been given a gift for free versus something that you had to pay for.
Well,
look
at Habitat for Humanity. You have people that rent, and they rent, and they're government. And I know a story right over here of this little family. And the little boy was a poor, poor student. And they got a Habitat for Humanity home. Mm-hmm. He had his own bedroom. He became an A student.
Yep.
He had his own turn. And the mother took very care of it, and she planted plants outside. They had the pride of ownership. Yeah, as you said, they had skin in the game.
Yeah. Far too often, we spoil people, and that ends up, you know, not developing character, and you end up not treating things appropriately. But when you've worked hard and you've trusted the Lord, you really do or should have a very big spirit of thanksgiving. The pilgrims knew that the reason why they survived many of these harsh winters, and you think about birth rates back then were terrible. I mean, the reason why you would try to have 12 children is because six of them would easily die in infancy, and the rest would die just from a tough winter.
And also this, I'll tell you a story you'll never forget. This group of pilgrims landed in Massachusetts. It was winter, so they set up their tents and endured the winter. So they had no fruits, no vegetable, in danger of scurvy. So do you know what they had? They had red meat for breakfast, red meat for lunch, red meat for dinner. They might kill squirrels, they might kill antelope, whatever they killed. Mm-hmm. And they only had one flavoring. They would boil, they was by the ocean, They put so they would boil the ocean water to evaporate, and there was salt left in there. Mm-hmm. So all they had all winter was red meat for breakfast, lunch, or dinner with salt on it. You know?
People
have no idea how our forefathers struggled.
Oh, yeah. And when...
Hardy people.
When the pilgrims came together and the Indians were there who have helped train them in farming, especially in the lands that they were in. It's not like the pilgrims didn't know how to farm.
So the Indians were, the indigenous people were actually friendly and loving people, a lot of them.
Yeah. And that first set of Thanksgivings, these were Christians coming to thank God who sent Jesus into the world, not just a universal God. This is the God of the Bible. And their pitch of celebrating Thanksgiving was it was to mimic what we see almost back to the book of Leviticus, chapter 7, where it was called a Thanksgiving sacrifice. And it's kind of like a peace offering. I was going to pull it up here, what that word was that we see here in Leviticus 7, 11. And so it says this. Leviticus 7:11.
Oh, is that where they got 7:11 from?
Yeah.
Leviticus 7:11.
So take a look here.
What does it say?
Hold on here.
Are we going to have to read this? Are you going to hand this to me?
I'll read it here.
Okay.
I just want to make sure I had the whole thing. Read full chapter. But this is what it says here. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings that one may offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, again, this is the first time you see it in Hebrew, in the Bible, the word thanksgiving, then he shall offer with a thanksgiving sacrifice of unleavened loaves mixed with oil, unleavened wafers smeared with oil, and loaves of fine flour well mixed with oil. With the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving, he shall bring his offering with the loaves of leavened bread, and from it he shall offer one loaf from each offering as a gift to the Lord, and it shall belong to the priest who throws the blood of peace offerings. And the flesh, lastly, of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow offering or a freewill offering, it shall be eaten on the day that he offers his sacrifice, and on the next day what remains of it shall be eaten. But what remains of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned up with fire. My joke with this is when it comes to your Thanksgiving meal this upcoming week, the law of Leviticus says not to eat your Thanksgiving meal on the third day or later. it's going to spoil. You should set it on fire.
Well, it sounds a little bit like some priests were kind of hungry.
You need to eat it today,
But I mean, the offering, do you think that really came from the Lord, that offering specifically?
Well, the pilgrims, when they met with the Indians, they had this Thanksgiving meal. They didn't just have it one time. They probably had it multiple times. But the idea, though...
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.